Bibles, Proverbs chapter 6, Proverbs chapter 6. Have fun with the title today. You may not agree with me at all when I'm done with this message. How to manage your money. When I read this chapter, you're going to be like, say what? But we're going to have a good time. I really couldn't find a title to mix it all up, and I didn't want to call it General Wisdom Part 75, right? And so it is, but you're going to see this, and I think I can link it together. Don't get so bent out of shape over the title, but it is, there's so much linking here, really good stuff. God cares for your everyday life. He gives us such, when I say practical instruction, everyday instruction. I was talking to my son just yesterday, maybe today, I can't remember. But he was right. He said, if you just follow the principles of the Bible, your life will go okay. Okay? From a human perspective, right? Not eternally. But, you know, if you're faithful to your spouse, it's going to be good. If you're truthful, life's going to be better. If you are a hard worker, life will be better. And just follow simple principles of the Bible. But you see, that's what a lot of people do, and they think they're good enough to go to heaven. But, you know, God cares about your everyday life. And we have to make sure, okay, maybe I do as much as anything, that I've got to make sure that I am interested about, you know, how's your life, how's your day. But I really want to help people spiritually. Proverbs chapter 6, such a just a chock full chapter. Let's read this again. When it says my son, it's Solomon writing to his son, but you ladies are just as much a part of this as well. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, we'll explain all that. It's like a financial guarantee. I'll tell you, it made a little bit more in yesteryear, but there's a lot for us to learn. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend. If thou hast stricken thine hand with the stranger, you shake hands. The Bible even talks about that. A handshake ought to be good for your word. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thine hand with the stranger, thou art snared. So, not good. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now. So then he's saying this. This is really, really interesting. I want you to remember this. You've made a bad promise. Do everything you can to say, I'm wrong, please forgive me, and undo it. You know, I mean, that's what he's saying. He's saying this, do this now. So you've stricken your hands, you've become surety, we'll talk about all that. He said, do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. You need to get out of this, if at all possible. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself, and make sure thy friend, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids, deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter. This is a big deal. And as a bird from the hand of the fowler. We'll talk about all this. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, you lazy bum. That's what he's saying. That's what it would be in the 21st century. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and they thy want as an armed man. Verse 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. I'm going to make sure you guys understand froward. I've talked about it before, but I think I'll have you remember what froward means better after we're done tonight. Verse 12, a wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually, he soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. I'm going to tell you, I read this and I bought into it. So it's just recently I read it. I've never taught this before, but I think it's true. He hates six things, seven things are abomination. These six things will lead to sowing discord among the brethren. And so if you want to know what's sowing discord among the brethren, I think it's these six things. They'll lead to sowing discord. Says, these six things doth the Lord hate. You want to know what he hates, so you don't do it. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look. And that seems like, what? What in the world? Couldn't he hate something worse? A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Why? Oh, in case you forgot chapter 5, little reminder. To keep thee from the evil woman. Women, I'm sorry. You guys are taking a beating here. You're going to get beat up next week, too. I'm just sorry. So, come again. But remember, there can be the evil man. That's the tempter, not just the temptress, right? But you need to follow God's word to keep you from people that are out to destroy you. Verse 24, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief. This is just real life reality. It doesn't justify anything, but there's a lot of truth in what I'm about to read, but don't use it to justify behavior. The Bible says this: men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry. You know, imagine you catch somebody and they're stealing from your freezer. I think I would respond to them differently, don't you? Like, whoa. You know, I mean, you know, somebody breaks in your house, you're not sure. It's like, oh, you're just coming from my freezer. But, you know, if you found somebody stealing your food and you found out, oh, wow, it's still wrong. The Bible says that. Look at this. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his hunger, his soul when he's hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. Still, he's guilty. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Look at this next couple verses. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Let me just tell you, here's what the Bible says. You might steal from your neighbor, and he'll get over it. You take his woman, the Bible's not justifying this. He's just telling you, I know men, I know fallen men, and let me tell you this, you mess with a man's woman, you may never live it down. For jealousy is the rage of a man. I just tell you this, it's why the Lord was so strongly chastened David. He took Uriah's wife for jealousy, and see, David didn't have to deal with it, so David had to deal with God. For jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Again, it's not justifying rage. It's not justifying you going and just attacking someone that messes with your woman. But it is this. Wake up, folks. Is the Bible not real? Is the Bible not helpful? And it's not justifying a man that would behave with rage. It's just dealing with this. Now, wouldn't this be fun for Sunday school? How in the world did I get the simple title, How to Manage Your Money? Let me just give you the headings, and then we'll get into it. It talks about surety, and we'll talk about that. That's clearly dealing with your money. We'll talk about that. Don't be lazy. Laziness will tend to poverty, the Bible says. It is, the word froward is just to help you understand this. Froward is, it's backward. You run toward God, but the froward run away from God. Right? And so you want to run away from God and you want to pursue evil, you will find that it will consume you and consume your money. And I think, you know, we have the prodigal son as one example. And then the six things that God hates. If there is a theme about these six things, it is honesty is one of them. I tell people this all the time. If people can trust you, it's worth its weight in gold. we ought to be trustworthy as Christians. If not, then it will affect your pocketbook. And then finally, you want to lose all your money? Go after the evil woman. And that's how to manage your money. But now let's first talk about this counsel against surety. Now let me tell you in old times what surety was. And I'll tell you what it is today. And then we'll talk about right, wrong, and indifferent. Surety in the past was something where, let's say, Jacob's just starting out, and I go up to people and I say, I am Jacob's guarantor. Whatever Jacob needs, you take care of him and I'll back it. Open-ended. And so historically, that's what it was. That's foolish. Right? So now, understanding that, just read this verse for me. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, which there's no boundaries, if thou hast stricken thine hand with the stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And then he does say in verse 3, 4, and 5, do everything you can to reverse that. You could be, obligated contractually, and the Bible didn't say, but it says do everything you can. It says like a deer caught in the hand of the hunter and as a bird in a cage. He says, don't sleep on this, but do everything you can to reverse it because it will collapse. So let me tell you, so surety, I think it's different than co-signing. But let me tell you what the principle of the Bible is. I think we ought to help people. So here's my point. If you don't have it, don't guarantee it. Follow me? So for instance, if Jacob came up and said, hey, why? Because he's in the second row. And Lydia's not buying a car anytime soon. And so if Jacob comes up to me and he goes, hey, I need to buy a car, will you co-sign for me? It's a little different, but you know what I probably ought to do? If I have the ability, I ought to loan the money to Jacob. And what interest rate should I charge Jacob? Zero. I believe that's the principle of God's word. I want you to understand that because Jacob would be Poe, or he could get his own stinking loan, right? And if I want to help somebody, I ought to help them, right? And if I'm going to guarantee or co-sign, I ought to just loan you the money. And here's the key. Whenever you quote-unquote loan money, you better be able to never get it back and never hold bitterness and just love them and don't let it become an issue between them. You understand this? It's a Bible principle. How to manage your money. It's not if somebody can't get a loan, newsflash, there's a reason. It's probably because they aren't worthy of a loan. But we as Christians ought to be loved. What's that? Did you say something? Well, it's the bank has deemed people unworthy, right? And so we as Christians ought to be a little bit more, and we ought to try to help one another, right? We ought to try to help one another. But I tell you this, what the Bible says is it's really not. It's we ought to interact one-to-one, not using financial institutions or this, that, and the other. I'm telling you, that's the principle of God's word. I'm not saying it's sin if you co-sign. I'm just telling you this. If you can't afford to back up a co-sign signature, don't co-sign. You understand? I know that you're like, well, duh. Well, a lot of people do it, and then they're shocked. They go, I cannot believe they didn't make the payment. Well, I mean, if they couldn't get a loan, they're probably going to miss some payments. You know, because life happens. And so God's just saying this, don't be selfish, don't be stingy, but you can only, and so I'm going to help you be creative. Help people in different ways. Maybe you provide free babysitting, you know, and you set the boundaries on what that looks like so that you're happy, they're happy, and abuse doesn't happen, you know, and that you can just lovingly help people, right? Find ways to help people if you don't have the money. But we all, you know, and it's this. I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, everybody has to have the house that a 60-year-old has at 20. My kids drive by where my wife and I had our first apartment, and they're like, oh, the ghetto. I'm like, the ghetto? The ghetto? I mean, man, we didn't think it was the ghetto. $285 heat and water included, right? That was a deal, right? You're like, no way. Was that for one day? No, it was for the whole month, man. When they went up to $300, I'm like, oh, what is happening to this world, right? It really was my reaction, right? But it is, be patient. And we're going to get into the second thing, work hard. Right? Work hard. And if you do work hard, don't get the big head. If you are financially stable and you are financially responsible, don't look down at people that aren't. You need to be thankful to God that all the background that He gave you has helped you be where you're at. It's not you pulling yourself up by your bootstraps. I will tell you, remember the proud look that we're going to get to? If you think you are in the financial shape you're in, and if it's good, because you're awesome, you have a proud look. God says He hates that stuff. We ought to be thankful. We ought to be humble. We ought to help people. We ought to help people that maybe did things we didn't do. And you know what we ought to do? Be thankful that God kept us from doing it by His grace. Amen? That's the Bible. And so we just need to, you know, and so folks, verses 1 through 5 is just such an interesting passage that just talks about, you know, thank before you act. But it's not giving you an excuse not to help people. When I get to my second point of working hard and the diligence that an ant has, you ought to work so hard that you have money so when somebody does need help, you got it to help them. You follow me? Because I know, man, I'd help you if I could. It's like, well, how come you haven't been living so that you could help when the door rang, right? You know why? Lazy. That's what the Bible says. Right? So, I'm just telling you, if you're not lazy, thank God for it, but be ready to help. See, I'm just telling you this, Christians, every one of us, we ought to desire to be ready to help, leaning forward and help people. Help people. I'm just telling you, that's how good God is. God helps me every time and I never deserve it. Does it blow your mind when He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I'm like, who is that? You know, I don't know how He can say that, but because of the blood of Christ that covers me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. It is an amazing thing. Counsel against surety, it's really just talking about be financially wise. But it's not talking about don't help people. The Bible is not talking about find an excuse so you don't have to help people. Here's what the Bible says. If you have the ability to help people and you don't help them, you are going to be in trouble. I paraphrased. But that's the truth, right? I do believe this when we get to the second spot. Put yourself in a position that you can. I'm looking at the richest people in the world right now. 99% of the world is poorer than you. We ought to live for the kingdom of God. And all we're doing is paying for plastic stuff from Walmart on a credit card charging 25%, ripping you off. And we need to get out of that. It doesn't happen as often now that I'm a pastor. I'll help you. I know people get weirded out. Oh, the pastor, he knows my finances. And probably do anyway, just because I had to size up so many things. I don't sit around going, I wonder how much they make. I don't do any of that. I'll help you. And then I'll help you be accountable to a budget if you want to make progress. Second part, don't be lazy. Look at verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. The sluggard, you lazy person. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. This is so interesting. The ant and the ant kingdom. Is there such a thing as the ant kingdom? My little grandson, Callum, would think so. He got just tore up by these fire ants in Florida, right? So now he's like an insect phobe. And he walks around, you know. It's like, you sissy. I'm going to take some fire ants just to bite him again and go, see, it's not that bad. Just kidding. But it is, so the ant kingdom, they don't have a structure and leaders. Here's one of the most amazing thoughts that's going on here. Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways and be wise. The ant works diligently and works hard without being told to do it. That's what's impressive. When I watch young people, so like Eli, I watch you, I watch guys like you, you know, because I pray for you. I want you to be a man of God. I want you to succeed. And so I'm not watching you to judge you, right? But it is the things I love to see is when you do the work of God without being told. It's a big deal. It's a sign of maturity, and it would reflect that you know why you're doing it. It's for the honor and glory of God. Yes, I think you should continue to tell him what to do. But give him some time to see if he'll do it without you telling, but then step in, right? But I think you're looking for that too, and you're super encouraged when you see that, right? It's like the ant. We ought to work hard. And this is just talking about, provision. Look at this. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. Do you know what? You know what is one of the greatest, according to the Bible, one of the greatest identifiers of a lazy person? It's in this passage. What would it be? Sleep. So parents, I'm going to tell you this. Get your kids out of bed. You're raising a sluggard, a lazy bum, a lazy person. Have them work to do, and I'm telling you, there's a limit. Okay, maybe one day a week they can sleep 12 hours. Every other day, get out of bed. You do not want your kids to learn just to sleep. I know, when you're growing up, you need rest. You don't need 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is. I'm just telling you, it's Bible advice. Listen to this. Love not sleep. This is Proverbs 20, verse 1. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes. Wake up, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. You know, the Bible talks about this as well, that sleep is an escape mechanism so that you can kind of try to put life behind you and forget it. And what that'll lead to is poverty. I tell you this, I'm not thinking anybody in this room. I'm really not. I don't know your sleep patterns. And I'm not trying to either. But it is, I want to tell you this. The Bible talks all over the place about idleness and poverty, laziness and poverty. Now, I want to tell you this. Life is not about making money. Don't misunderstand me. You've heard me say it a million times. And my son and I, we have many conversations, and he's worked really hard. He's probably worked on average 80 to 85 hours a week for 3 straight years. And so he's kind of turning the corner. And I said, congratulations, I never doubted that you could accomplish financial success that way. I said, but I'm not sure what you have right now. He can handle it. I said, if you don't turn this and serve the Lord, I said, it's a complete waste of time. And I've said, you have accomplished nothing. Glad you're not my dad. I love him. You understand that? The Bible's not talking about you pursuing riches. It's just talking about this. Be a worker. And here's the key. In our day and age, most generations, they are lazy bums, man. I mean, all they do is sit in the basement, play video games, and mooch off their parents. Right? And we've got to help them. And we've got to be super patient, which is my middle name. And we've got to help them. Teach them, and one step at a time. What the Bible, the Bible's just practical. How to manage your money? Don't be lazy. Now, I'm going to tell you this. I've had people tell me this before. Well, you don't understand, Steve. How many times I've heard that? You don't understand, Steve. And I say, I may not. But what's that have to do about this Bible verse? People say, well, I have to work Sundays. Oh, is that so? They don't know that there's a part two to my thought. I'll say, well, maybe it's because you're a poor money manager. I'll say, would you like me to look at your finances and see if I can find money where you won't have to work Sunday and you can honor God and put him first? The less mature Christian, I'm going to tell you this, and not everybody might like this. I understand it a little bit more for a new believer. It's harder, right? It's harder. But I see it with people that have been saved for a while. I expect people to mature in this. There's not one person in this room, the longer you're saved, the more you wish you'd worked on Sunday, the more you wish you'd skipped God's assembly. There's not one Christian in this room that would want that. But we make excuses. And I know this. It's so of the devil that the highest paying day of the week is Sunday. It just, that is so of the devil. It's why I was glad I was salary. If I had been hourly, I think I might have at least worked Sunday afternoon. I'm that bad, right? Because it's like, hey, I mean, I put together models for Rachel and Abby. Because you know this, April, with nursing, I love the bonus structure. And I would put models together and say, here's exactly what you need to do to maximize your pay. You work this long, hang over here, do this. And then, shoing, shoing, you know, the ching, boing, ching, the bonuses. I love that stuff, right? But I'm so glad I wasn't hourly. Because you can always use another shift, can't you? I know. So I was so glad I was salary because I got the same amount when I made less. If I wanted an hourly raise, I worked less. And I needed to be efficient so I could deliver what they wanted. So my heart goes out to you. But I want to tell you this. You can make excuses why you don't have time for God. But part of it may be you're too lazy to manage your money. This is me just trying to help you. This is practical help from the scriptures. And we'll help you, right? You're like, man, you're such a jerk. I don't want you to help me. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just telling you this. We make excuses. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I want to tell you, you put God first. And I know it's tougher the younger you are in Christ. It is. And I'm not here to beat people up. I'm just telling you this. It might be that you need to get your household in order financially, and it may need, you just might need to back off. I mean, everybody thinks they've got to live like royalty day one. But I tell you this because here's what people do. And then they get mad at me. They go, you know, I stopped working on Sunday. And my car got repossessed. That's my fault. And, you know, maybe they shouldn't have gotten the car. But I tell you this because here's this, you'd be wrong with this. So Steve, imagine this. And I so love, it's so good to see Steve here. You know, and I mean, it's not a criticism, right? Retail, and it's not, right? It wasn't. And so Steve got out of retail, and I love that. It was always his heart's desire, and God granted that, and I love that, right? So where was I going with you, Steve? I have no idea. What's that? You neither. I don't know. It wasn't working on Sunday. Where was I going? Thank you. Thank you, Ron. So here's the key. If you misunderstand me, you'll be like, I'm going to stop working on Sunday, and all of a sudden my checkbook's going to balance. Not. You understand? You have to seek him first, put him first, and then have a plan. You understand this? And it might mean that you can't go out to eat four times a week. Mm-hmm. It might mean that, you know, like pasta, potatoes, you know, I mean, Jacob's laughing because he's like, you know, you can live on pasta and potatoes for a long time, right? And it is, I think what you guys experienced will help you in life, right? Because You were Poe in the standard of American life, but it'll help you have more empathy towards others and care for them. And you'll know a cupboard right away that's doing that. Rice, potatoes, and pasta, right? Get a big old 50-pound bag. What I'm telling you is, obey God, but don't blame God if everything's not fixed overnight. We have to be responsible. You follow me? And so I'm telling you this. It's be a hard worker. Understand this. The younger generation as a whole, they are more lazy. Right? It is, they're nicer. They're nicer, right? But man, they are stinking lazy, right? And we've got to love them and help them and make sure of this. It's not about being a hard worker. But we ought to be a hard worker. You follow me? And so just walk through this, these last few. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 9, excuse me. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? Wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Are you going to wake up? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. They're like, I just need a little nappy poo, right? And so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. It's this. You're going to find, it's going to be like, what? And that's when you're going to complain about God. How to manage your money. counsel against surety. Don't be lazy. And then run toward God, not away. Remember, froward is away, not toward, if you can remember that. And look at verse 12. It says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. It's the opposite mouth of God. I say this, and I want you to know this. I love teaching people, and it never bothers me. You honor the Lord. You know, I have Bible studies with people, and boom, man, they'll cuss, and some of them recognize it, some of them don't. And I want you to know this. That's not the froward mouth. It's this. You know what? If you had a cussing mouth, God can give you victory, but sometimes you blow it. We're going to love you no matter what. I want you to understand that, right? We're not here to go, oh man, there's a cusser. Wow. Can't serve here at Hope Baptist Church. No, I want you to know this. It's what you want to do is you want to help on what's coming out of your mouth, right? He says, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Just the opposite of God. He winketh with his eyes, he speaketh with his feet, he teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness, the opposite of God, is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. And that, I don't believe that's because God's striking out against him. I believe that's the result of you pursuing sin. Let me just give you the greatest example that I know. Professional athletes. 90% of them are broke before they even retire. Because what they've done is they've pursued sin, wickedness, and everything money could buy. And what they find is they're broke. You talk about prodigal sons. You go to the, you know, whether it's the baseball, football, basketball, you name it. Most of these guys are broke. And they'll make more money than all of us combined. Because they're pursuing sin. Sin is costly. Remember I told you the title of the message, How to Manage Your Money. You want to run away from God, it'll cost you. It'll cost you. And the financial is not the main cost. It's spiritual. You're killing yourself, right? But I just tell you this because, and I think God talks about this, we care about our money. I was talking to somebody recently. The reason we ought not to sin is because Christ is worthy. But throughout the scriptures, throughout the Proverbs, God gives us a lot of motives why not to sin, right? Does he not tell you why to stay away from the wicked woman so that you won't be destroyed, so you won't be like a piece of bread? You tiny crumb. That's what my dad used to call me when he's mad at me. You tiny crumb. I mean, I was like, what was that? And it is this. Here's the key. You will not stay away from the wicked woman because of all of the consequences God talks about, but maybe one day you might. And then you get your heart right and you begin to pursue Christ and you stay away from the wicked woman because you love Jesus. But I'll tell you, he gives us all the reasons, right? I talked to somebody recently. They go, you know one reason why I'm not tempted to cheat on my wife? He goes, you know how much it would cost me? I said, don't tell your wife that. And but I told them, I said, look, I think that's of the Lord. But I said, what you want to do is you want to be faithful because Christ is worthy. You follow me? I said, the devil can put somebody together that'll make you so deceived and so foolish that you'll forget what the cost is in this life and you'll be so foolish. But if we keep Christ exalted and Christ before us, Christ is worth it. That's going to be the motivation. But God gives us secondary reasons all the time. Why does God tell us about rewards? I don't think you and I should be focused on the rewards we're going to get. But he wants us to know about them. You remember this? John 14. After he dropped the three bombs in John 13, one of you is going to betray me. I'm leaving and you can't come with me. And Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Before it crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Then he starts John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He says this, get your eyes on me. What does he say next, Steve? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. It seems so wacky to me. I mean, you just talk about this. This is hours before Jesus is going to get arrested, hours before the crucifixion. And he goes, good news. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Now, there's an old song for some of you don't know. He didn't start singing that. But Ron, why does he do that? It's this. On the days that we have vision trouble with Jesus, we just might remember what he's got prepared for us, and we might endure. I'm telling you, it's better to endure because of him, isn't it? But he wanted them to remember, I've got such glorious things prepared for you. The motive needs to be him. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says this, the third one, remember this? I'm coming again. You see, I love to learn from Jesus. He gives us many reasons. It's all about him. But that second one is like, what in the world? In my Father's house are many mansions. You know, I might have raised my hand. Why did you tell us that? Because you're so flaky, Steve, you need to understand there's something great ahead. And that's when we sing the song, It Will Be Worth It All. You follow me? Run toward God, not away. The reason that we will honor him for the long run is because of him. But I will tell you this, he gives us a lot of reasons that say, don't be foolish on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, maybe you'll live because of me. Don't mess up on Saturday. You understand this. We mess up in time. Flee sin. Run toward God. We're either going to be froward and run away from God, or we're going to run toward God. Fro, away, tor. We're going to go one of two directions. And he says that, and he says, these people, they'll suddenly be destroyed. And it's not because of God, it's because of their choices. Fourth thing I want you to see, six things doth the Lord hate. Six things doth the Lord hate. And my fingers aren't working tonight to turn this page. It is six things doth the Lord hate. And this was probably my biggest stretch to say how to manage your money. But it's this. This is a proud look. A proud look. I would love to have Sunday school and we could just discuss this, but listen to this. I love this. Listen to Psalm 10:4. You ought to just mark that down in your mind. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, the countenance is your expression, is the glow, is the, you can usually tell. I can tell a lot by people's countenance. You can tell when people are sad. You can tell, not everybody, right? You can tell when people are happy. You know, we can fake it, but the countenance speaks amazing things. And the Bible says, a proud look. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Listen to Psalm 101:5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look. Oh, we call that conceited. You know, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. God says this, he hates a proud look. I don't go beating you up. And my kids, man, they are, you know, one thing, and I've said it, and I wilted to the pressure. They said, Dad, we just want to hear you say you're proud of us. You know what I've always said all my life? I'm so thankful that God gave you to me. God's been good to me. I love you. That wasn't enough. So you know what I did? I'm proud of you in a way that hopefully God is not besmirched. I don't know. Pride is never good. A proud look. You know what a proud look does? You take the credit. Whoever's the hardest worker in this room, it's the grace of God. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians. He said, I labored more abundantly than y'all, but not I, but the grace of God in me. A proud look. Pride. Yes. Amen. I'm special. Kiss the ring. Right? It is, he hates a proud look. Be thankful. Be able to receive God's blessings. Be able to receive God's gifts and be humble about it. I said today, I was with Don and Chris, if we put humble before everything, we will be better off. We need to be humble about everything in life because it's not me. It's God. It's God. Anything good is God. A lying tongue. He hates a lying tongue. It's just so simple. If people can trust you, it goes a million miles. You do not want to be known as a liar. I will tell you my advice. If you're known as a liar, God, I've got verses, but for sake of time, I'm not going to go through all of them. If you're known to be a liar, you need to go up to people and say, I'm sorry, I've been a liar, and I know I'm known for that. I'm asking that you give me a new chance in your heart to try to be a man or woman of truth. You want to be a person of truth, and you got to humble yourself. I've told you, I almost won't say anything without Googling it now because I want to make sure I'm telling the truth. And my kids are like, say, where did you get 98%? I said, guys, I'm making that up. But I said, it's directional, man. It's directional. And so now I'm like, it's 97.3. Okay, happy. But a lying tongue. Why? The devil's the father of lies. You lie, you're identifying with the devil. God hates it. Hands that shed innocent blood. It's interesting. The Bible does use this term. And in the grand scheme of things, it would say innocent blood. There's nobody that's innocent. But there could be people that were not worthy or guilty of you shedding their blood. Right? God speaks of that. And I know I mention this often, but the most vulnerable in our midst. God is not pleased with the abortionist. God is not pleased with anybody that participates in an abortion. The man, the woman, the doctor. I do tell you this, there is forgiveness. I had a guy ask me recently. He said, he was reading Matthew 22 and he's like, whoa, if you remarry after not, you know, getting divorced for infidelity, then you're an adulterer. And he asked me this, he said, is there a loophole that I'm covered? You know, don't you love this? Is there a loophole? And I said, no, but I said, when Jesus saved you, did he exclude that and not forgive you of that? You see, it is a, so I tell you that to say with abortion, it's horrendous and it's murder. And I don't know of anybody that's participated in it. And if I did, I would still say the same thing, and I want to be gentle with it, but I want you to understand this. You can be forgiven. And God says in Psalm 103:5, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. He will forgive, he will forget, and he will remove it. And isn't that, it's the most beautiful thing about Christianity. Now, I tell people this, don't be presumptuous. So don't do this. Don't go get an abortion saying, well, God can forgive me. No, that's foolishness. Understand? But I want you to understand this. It's, when I speak about these things, there is hope, and the hope is always in Christ. I want you to know this. He loves you. Every one of us have had hate in our heart, and that's murder of the heart. I want you to allow me to preach against it. Hands that shed innocent blood, this entire abortion movement is of the devil, and can you not feel the evil in some of these people? It is so evil, and the devil loves to slaughter the most innocent in the womb of women. I want to stand up for it, but I also want to be loving, gentle, and I want people to understand this. Yeah, you were wrong, but there's forgiveness at the cross. It's beautiful. There's forgiveness, and he'll wipe your sin away. And you know this? We ought never to think of it either. There's no second-class citizens. They're not those that have had abortion, those that haven't. There's no second-class citizens in any vein. You understand that? I love true biblical Christianity. That's why I love the purpose of the Lord's churches is because he said this. Y'all are bums. Now just trust in Christ and honor me because it's not about us. But we can get along. We can love one another. And we have a cause. And that's the cause of the gospel of Christ. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I tell you this. For our young people, and I guess old people too, but I do love this part of Christianity that says, I'm not around people, and I guess I could get around people that are trying to draw me into sin, but it gets better. Doesn't it get better? I mean, you're not around people, right? I mean, it gets better. I know work and all that kind of stuff, but it gets better. You're kind of isolated. That's kind of good. For our young people, you need to break off friendships immediately when you find your friends are trying to draw you into sin. Say, I cannot hang around you anymore because you will lead me to dishonor my Savior. It is a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. What are we going to do on Friday? If you've got friends like that, you need to run. There's no place for friends like that, because they'll ultimately get to you, and then you'll have great regret, and you'll just be like the example last week where the guy goes, "Why did I not listen to my teachers?" And I'm helping you. I'm telling you this. If you're hanging out with people that are, "What are we going to do on Friday?" And you know it's not like, "How about have a Bible study?" Right? Then I'm telling you, you need to cut that friendship off, or you will be caught up in their wicked imaginations. Number five, feet that be swift to running to evil. Very similar, but this is really kind of those that are acting on it, right? Imaginations, and then they act on it. And that's the heart of evil men. And a false witness. You say, well, what's the difference between a false witness and a lying tongue? Part of this Hebrew word is dealing with legality, that people that will represent in a court of law, and it's not just limited to that, in the court of law, things that aren't true, and will have people unjustly judged. It is a false witness that says, "I saw this happen." God says, don't be part of that. When you look at this, this is what I believe is, and it's not the only thing, this is how you sow discord. Let's just look at it. You want to sow discord? Then if we become a church of proud people that think we're something, Hope Baptist Church isn't anything. We are, we're blessed to be able to be a church that can serve the Lord. But in and of ourselves, we're not anything. What makes us anything is Christ. There's no place for pride. We ought to be people of truth. You want to lie? If all of a sudden, I've seen it in churches, and I'm ready to work through it. "Well, they said this about me." I go, "Let's go talk to them." "Well, no." And so a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and it happens in churches. Feet that be swift to run to evil, and a false witness. Folks, we need to have humility and love one another and not be a sower of discord. Not be a sower of discord. So, number five, if you think, how to manage your money, keep God's commandments. Just let's walk through this quickly. Verse 20. "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee." So, if you would, I'm gonna liken the commandments of God to the word of God. Look at this in verse 22, 23. I think you'll agree. "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp." That's Psalm 119, 105. "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and light unto my path. And the law is a light, and reproof as instructions are the way of life." I want to go back to verse 22. Really cool. Not original with me, but I really liked it. It's this. The word of God is a guide. It will lead you. Look at this, verse 22. "When thou goest, it shall lead thee." When we heed the commandments of God, when we heed God's word, it will lead us. Secondly, it'll be a guardian. It'll keep us. It will guard us. It will protect us. When is your most vulnerable time? When you're sleeping. You're not aware. My son, I forgot how blind he is, and he's like, "I need to get LASIK surgery." He said, "If somebody breaks into my house, I'll be like, I can't put my contacts in." And he says, "I never know where my glasses are." And he said, I won't be able to see anything. And so you're the most vulnerable when you're sleeping, particularly if you're like 2500 vision. And here's what the Bible says. God's word, his commandments, will be a guide for us. God's word, his commandments, will be a guard for us. Understand this. He's given us his word to guide, to guard. And then it's this. Look at this, verse 22. "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." It'll be a companion. It'll speak with you. I've been having a lot of conversations, and I don't know if Alberto's watching tonight, but he's like, "How do I know when God's speaking to me?" I said, "When you're reading the Bible." not that. And he goes, and I said, it's not that difficult. I said, when you feel compelled to do what's right, trust that God's leading that. Right? If you feel this thing that goes, "I probably should go tell them about Jesus," don't conclude that it's of the devil. I do not know that the devil would ever have you tell anybody about Jesus, right? I should go be nice to them. And go be nice to them. Right? It is, it's not as difficult, but let God speak to you. And then finally, stay away from evil women. how to manage your money. Let's just walk through this, and then I'm done. I've just got a few minutes. Verse 24, we covered a lot of this last week, but it's still good. To keep thee from the evil woman, God's word will guide you. God's word will guard you. God's word will speak with you to keep you from the foolish man, the foolish woman. In this case, it's the evil woman. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Women know how to do it. You know, with their words, with their lips. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. I see it all the time. You might marry Barbie, but I will tell you, usually Barbie isn't all that. Barbies have high demands, right? Now, what am I saying about my wife? My wife is Barbie, so my wife is beautiful. Where's my wife? She's beautiful. I love my wife, you know. And so it's what am I saying? Start over. Boop, 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 boop. All right. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. You need to be attracted to your spouse. But don't lust after her. People have asked me, is it okay if I lust after my wife? I said, absolutely not. That's like an animal. I said, be ravished with her. That's last week. You remember that? I even skipped some things there. You guys can go back and reread it. Right? But it says, be ravished with her. Isn't that so much better than lust after your wife? Lust is so, like, she's a meat product. My wife's not a meat product. My wife's, I love saying this, she's my woman. I love that. I love it. And I'm her man. And I love that. And I need to act like it. And I need to be ravished with her. I need to delight in her and not in some other woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids, flashing them at you. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Piece of bread, kind of useless. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You think you can play with fire? The Bible says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? The answer, no. I wonder if verse 28, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Was that rebellion when you got these people over in India that like, we can walk on hot coals? I think their feet do get burned. Scientifically, they just can't feel it. So I'm making that up right now. I didn't really look it up. But why do people walk on hot coals? I wonder, is it just to try to prove the Bible wrong? Probably, is that what you said? A proud look, yeah. Verse 29, so he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whoso toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief. And we talked about this. I want you to know this. The Bible said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And I didn't say you can't shake someone's hand, you know. But you know the inappropriate touch. Don't ever be a part of it. Women, love women. Men, love men. And it's, we just need to honor the Lord. And it says, let's just finish with verse 34. If you take a man's woman, for jealousy is the rage of man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. And God says vengeance is his. It's not justifying vengeance. It's just telling you, I know sinful men. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. The whole principle is this, is are we content in Christ? Is Jesus enough? Is he enough that we would work hard? Is he enough that we would manage our lives so that we can be always ready to be a blessing? Is he enough that we would resist the froward way? Is he enough that we would listen to him and let him be all that he wants to be, our guide, our guard, our companion? Is he enough that we won't be so foolish? And this is what breaks my heart. A crowd this size, not huge. I have no clue. I'm going to guess the devil's working on people even in our midst. Flee sin. Flee temptation. Flee fornication. Flee idolatry. God will forgive you. He'll restore you. And then put yourself in accountability that says, I need help. Really what you need is focus on Christ. Let's pray. Father, I